You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Previously on, once more with dragons.
It looks like a very, very small lighter, like a Zippo lighter. And you pick it up. There's certainly something weird about it or magical about it, but you flip it around and it has this ornate engraving on the back of it. And in the middle of this ornate engraving are three letters, and those letters are R-P-W.
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 And in front of you, you see a tall, scraggly elf in a laurel green tweed suit jacket with elbow patches on it. He's wearing a paisley tie, and he's got a suitcase with him.
Oh, I'm so sorry. The name's Leon Crumb. Are you okay?
Well, yes, yes, I know the rumors of Caroline Chandler's involvement in this show have been making the... But none about that.
Mole Pumpernickel here. You gave me your name today and mentioned you were interested in auditioning for a brilliant new show, Dear Elvin Hansen.
Desiree, your flame also happened to break the window open of the door. And so as the cloak's trying to put out its shoulder, it notices this and it turns back around to look at the three of you and then turns and then flees out the doorway into the air.
Dee, you lost my coat!
And out of Tim Taylor's store.
Your coat tried to kill Evelyn!
It looked nice!
Once more with dragons! Arc 1, The Lights of Imperia, Chapter 3, Something's Afoot.
Find yourself exactly where we left you, gathered around a table at the Patink Inn in front of a quietly sobbing Caroline Chandler, her bright white teeth glimmer in the twinkling, glowing firelight on the wall. And she kind of pulls her head up and looks at the three of you and just kind of sniffles a little bit and goes, "Can I?" Oh, no, that's not what she sounds like. You know what she sounds like?
Can I help you with something?
Much better. Much
yes,
better.
Yes.
Oh, my.
That's spot on.
It's like
there,
she's
yeah.
in the room with us.
Oh, poor dear. Do you happen to like cats? I've got a little cat here. You can pet him if you'd like.
And she sniffles a little bit. He goes,
I've never met him. Oh, he's so cute.
Oh, isn't he? No. This is Lord Adamitus the 14th, and he is a sweet, snuggly baby, aren't you? Yes, you are.
Oh, look at his little whiskers. They're so adorable.
Oh, yes.
And as she says that, she notices that Lord Adamitus is walking on a piece of parchment that she has unraveled on the table. And she goes, oh, excuse me. And she grabs that and quickly stuffs it inside of her cloak.
Oh, Caroline, you all right there? Is there something you want to talk about? You seem pretty upset.
Yes, dear, tell us what's wrong.
I offer her my handkerchief from my pocket, too.
Oh my goodness, you
is
know
it clean?
My, you know
is it
my
a clean
name.
Handkerchief? Make sure that's a clean
it's
handkerchief.
Clean, it's clean.
Yeah. Oh, great glory.
And she takes the handkerchief somewhat reluctantly, but blows her nose in and goes,
yes.
Oh,
there
thank
you, go.
You so much, sir. Mm-hmm. And she hands it back to you and goes, you know, the stresses of being a leading lady could get to anyone, but it's just been a rough day, you know?
Do you want to talk about it?
And she kind of eyes you a little bit, Evelyn, and she goes, "Do you work for the theater?"
I hold up the outfits we got today.
I quickly slap that down and say, "Yes, in a manner of speaking, we work for the theater."
Technically, yes. But you know what? We are good at keeping secrets, as we are all performers, and we understand.
Oh, yes,
the stress
yes, yes.
You must be under, so you can confide in us.
Evelyn, I'm going to need you to roll persuasion.
Oh, all right, I can do that. Okay. Okay. That's a 9 persuasion.
All right. I don't think a 9 is going to do it.
No, I don't think so. But I tried.
She eyes the three of you and she goes, "I'm sure you understand, but I until we open, there are some things I just can't talk about yet." And she starts sobbing again and her head hits the table and she's going,
"I tried. One of you has to do it."
Poor dear, would you like a drink?
"Oh, that would be very nice. I've had several already."
Atta girl.
I hand her my orange with a straw in it.
I think we need a little something stronger, Gregory. What will we have, dear?
Some of this nice ale, maybe?
Oh, ale would be delicious. And she just skulls the whole ale in like one go.
Oh, Lord.
Like the whole thing.
There you go.
And then wipes her mouth. "That was delicious. Thank you so much. But I think if you must know, and you have to promise you can't tell anyone."
"Oh, my lips are sealed, my dear."
"Won't tell us all. You can trust me."
She is loud, but she's honest.
And she looks at you, Gregory.
"Whatever they say.
You can trust me."
Gregory, she contemplates you for a second.
I mean, if I was in your position, you make your own choices, but whatever you're comfortable with.
You're not helping.
Greg.
Caroline contemplates you for a second and goes, "Well, I received this note this morning." And she pulls that piece of parchment out from her jacket. And she says, she pulls out this parchment and says, "So I received this note this morning." And she holds it out in front of you. And it's very nicely written. It's in a very quaint script. And it says, "Dearest Caroline, it is with deepest sorrow that I must insist that you do not under any circumstance perform tomorrow night. Your very well-being is at risk."
Oh.
And then underneath it, it's signed, "A dear friend."
Is this one of those dear friend letter clubs?
No.
And she goes, and I just don't, I don't know what to do.
Does this handwriting look like anybody you would know?
I've never seen this script before. Not a lot of people know I'm staying here at the Patink Inn, but it's a mystery to me, but it made me scared.
Can I do an insight check and see if maybe I have any recollection of this handwriting?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, roll insight.
Okay, 4 + 2, 6.
Oh, so a 6. You could have seen this handwriting before or not. You really don't know.
That sure is handwriting.
It's definitely, someone wrote something there.
That's all in my head. I'm looking very intently like I'm actually doing something when I'm staring at the letter.
You're like holding it up to the light and like trying to look through the paper.
Greg, anything?
Hello?
Greg?
Master of deceit, this guy. You guys take a look.
Does it look familiar to you, Desiree?
I'll examine it, certainly.
All right.
Do you want me to do... What kind of check should I be making here?
Greg, what did I make you roll? Insight?
Insight.
Yeah.
Let's do insight as well.
All right, insight as well. I think I did even worse. I got a 6.
None of us are very insightful.
My eyes are not what they used to be. Oh, dear. And I think Adamitis kind of stepped on my glasses.
Desiree, at this moment, you notice you're actually holding the whole thing upside down.
My goodness. Oh, my goodness.
See, what's wrong with you?
After about 500 years, you know the eyesight, it kind of goes.
Evelyn, you want to go for the hat trick?
All right, all right. Since I'm the youngest out of all of us at a spry 150, what am I rolling for? Insight?
Insight.
I like how we're just the golden girls.
Oh, check me out. 22.
A 22. Did you roll a nat 20? Oh.
I rolled a 20 and I got a plus 2 on the website-y page.
20 is always okay, a so critical nat 20. Success. So with a 20? All right, with a nat 20.
At least one of us is useful.
You, once. You do recognize this handwriting.
Wait a second.
You can't place it. But you know it's not something from your distant past. This is handwriting you've seen recently. And you just you're scanning back through the day and like so many things have happened. You've been attacked by a coat. You auditioned and won because you win at auditions and you're just trying to run that tape back through your day and like trying to find the part where you recognize it. You just can't land on it, but you are positive you have seen this handwriting sometime today.
I am positive that I have seen this handwriting today. I don't know where.
Okay, let's think of all the things we've had written down.
Where have we seen writing today, people? Let's
earlier
think.
Today, we saw the Dear Elvish Hansen fellas. They had all the paper strewn all about. We had the
as the three of you are having this discussion, you see Caroline Chandler's face go pale. She goes, You three tricked me. You led me to believe you weren't very involved in the theater, but you ran into producers today and you had an audition today.
We didn't say anything about no audition. You're making things up.
And she picks that up through ESP because the dungeon master in the sky told her. She grabs the piece of paper back from you and stuffs it back and goes, I am quite done with the three of you. And then she storms out and heads up a staircase in the back of the bar that you assume leads up to the rooms.
Can I stealth follow her?
Sure. Is everyone else going with you? You're going to split the party.
I want them to come along, so I gesture, but I take the lead.
Okay. So you're going to head up the staircase?
Yes.
I hang back, but I'm keeping him in sight.
Okay, that's good. Probably the best.
Because I don't trust my aching limbs, and also I don't trust him.
Okay, so
I'm going with him because this seems like a bad idea.
So you wait the requisite amount of time and then try and follow Caroline Chandler up the staircase.
Does it have a handrail?
It does have a handrail.
I grip it.
Hold the handrail, Greg.
You make it up the staircase just in time to see a door on the second floor shut. You head up to it and you see it says 2D. What do you want to do? You're outside this closed door that you're pretty sure Caroline Chandler just went inside.
Is there a keyhole or anything like that?
Sure. There's a keyhole.
Can I stick my eye through that? But the other eye, not the eye I used earlier.
Absolutely.
Today.
Your non-black-eyed eye.
Your non-blackened eye. We going 2-4-2 today?
Eye.
Sure. Will you roll a stealth check for me, Gregory?
Okay, 10 plus 2, 12.
12. Okay, so with a 12, you're able to do this without alerting her suspicions. And you see with your good eye that Caroline Chandler has ripped open all of her dressers and drawers and is very frantically packing all of her things into a carpet bag.
Oh,
she's going to get out of town.
Ooh, that means a role might be opening up for us.
Ooh. No, we got it. Wait, hold on. We got to find out what's going on. This feels like not safe to me. Maybe we should knock on the door.
I feel like the last thing she wants to do is see us. So maybe.
Well, she might not want to see you.
Evelyn, will you roll a stealth check for me, please?
Oh, sure. Hold on, me. Stealth. You know, I'm very good at stealth. And by good, I mean I am a 4.
As you say very loudly, she might not want to see you. Gregory, you see Caroline Chandler absolutely hears that and goes and grabs her half-packed carpet bag and kind of in a frantic frenzy moves to crawl out the window of this hotel room.
Can I push the door open, like, with all my weight and all that? Like, kick it open?
Sure.
So to say.
Sure. Roll strength.
Strength. All right. Okay, so 15. So, because I'm a negative one.
15.
Strength.
All right. So, I'll give you that. It takes you some effort, but you kind of wiggle the doorknob and lean on the door, and you burst it open, kind of off its hinges, just in time to see the tail of Caroline's dress kind of flutter away through the window. And there's a bunch of her accoutrements strewn about.
Well, I am not climbing down that fire
I run
escape.
To the window and scream, Caroline!
You run to the window and do that, but you can't see her. Wherever she went, she's gone.
Well, what are we going to do now? It's not like she has an understudy. They're not in town anymore, so they say.
What about the leader-randers? What are they going to do?
Well, they got us, don't they?
You make a fine point, but... To another theater person.
Are they seriously going to cast the lead from an usher?
Well, I mean, would you? Are you turn with it us? Down?
Like, when did you teleport up here, D?
She came.
I walked
stairs.
Very slowly. I had to collect my cash.
She rolled nat 20s on all her stealth.
Oh, I feel like there's an edit in the story where someone just cuts something out, and you're here now.
Oh my god, this isn't realistic at all.
As you all
you are so noisy, you didn't notice me.
As you all are.
That is very true. That has happened to me a lot.
As you all are contemplating the meta aspects of your life existence, a fear bowl appears at the door and kind of knocks on the door frame. And it's Mandy Patink. And he's holding a tray with kind of a silver thing over, and he goes,
Miss Chandler, your room service, is everything okay?
Hey, Patink.
And I try to do my best performance to say that I am Miss Chandler's agent, and she had to go for a run, but she said that we are free to use her 2D suite.
Good one, Greg.
And that's for sure gonna be a deception check.
All right. 10 plus 1.
Wink, wink.
A 10 foot with an 11.
Not bad, not great, not bad.
Mandy goes, wait a minute. Didn't I see the three of you downstairs just a second ago?
What?
You can't. You're her agent? Well, what happened to this door? Is Miss Chandler even here anymore? Tell me the truth. What's going on?
We made a promise. We can't.
That's right. We promised Miss Chandler.
And he kind of sighs and goes,
I see you've joined the club. Well, your room's ready if you'd like to go head up. It looks like I'm going to have to fix this door and eat these oranges all by myself. And he pulls the cover off the tray, and it's just got like 6 oranges on it.
What is it with you and oranges?
All right.
All right.
What room Let's are we in, Mr. Patink?
He says, I think I put you on the fourth floor. You're in a 4Q.
Do we need keys or anything?
No, it's a magical hotel. You just walk up to the lock and it lets you in. What are you, born yesterday?
Obviously not. Look at me. Gosh. All right, let's go, guys.
4Q.
All right.
Let's go to 4Q.
All right, and the three of you head out of the room, up a couple more staircases with handrails.
Yes!
To the fourth floor of the Patink Inn, where you find a door labeled 4Q. Evelyn, as you reach your hand out and you try to twist the doorknob, it just opens because it recognizes you.
Oh.
And you find a very well-appointed room.
Hmm.
There's a main common area in the middle with a nice view of the city, which is dark but still certainly lit up. You can see the glow of all the neon lights kind of illuminating from below.
God, I love
this
and
city. Then off to the left are 2 doorways to bedrooms, and to the right is a doorway to a bathroom and another bedroom. It seems very nice and quaint and homey.
It's pretty homey and quaint, wouldn't you say, guys?
I like it here. I agree. I think we'll be very happy here.
What's gonna be the sleeping arrangement here, guys?
I am an elf. I do not require
what's
sleep.
What's the bed situation?
Okay, what's the sleeping arrangement for the two people that do sleep?
Dragons need sleep, I assume.
They do.
Well,
they
technically...
elves meditate.
Technically, I do trance, and I would like to have a private area for that.
She needs a trance.
Can we just have like a slumber party, a cuddle puddle of sorts?
No!
Greg, you remember the last time that happened, 75 years
fair
ago.
Fair enough.
My poor seventh wife, she never recovered.
All right, so do...
Actually, I think I only have six wives.
Anyway. Track.
It's pretty variable.
Of them was not very happy with you after that was done.
We go back too long, now that I'm sitting here thinking about it. We know each other way too well.
So the three of you retreat to your rooms for the night. And turn in. This is a long rest, so y'all can recover your spell slots and heal all the way back up to full if you're not.
Cool beads.
Heal!
And how do you all sleep / trance? Is it restful? Is it...
Loudly. I snore very loud.
I sleep like a rock. Right. I don't move. I barely breathe. My head hits the pillow and just...
I get up four or five times for the restroom.
Okay.
But...
And let's say, Disaria, because you're just trancing, as elves do.
Yes.
I would like you to roll a perception check.
Oh, interesting. I got a 23.
Okay. So as you're trancing, it's, you know, maybe the middle of the night, things have calmed down. You've heard Gregory's snores fit and start and hear him stop. And he also laughs in his sleep, apparently.
I must remind myself to tell Gregory to check himself with sleep apnea.
Mystical sleep apnea.
He's quite old.
Whatever mystical sleep apnea is, that's, yeah.
I forgot my CPAP spell at home.
But then, Disaria, you hear something else, a sound that you didn't expect. And it sounds like this. Tap, 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 tap. And then it stops for a second. And then you kind of wait for maybe longer than you think. But once again, you hear tap, 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 tap. And it seems to be coming from the common area. What do you do?
I pull on my dressing gown and I, as carefully as I am able at my age, I open the door to my room and look, kind of crack it open.
So as you crack the door from your bedroom, even though I believe elves do have night vision, it still takes you a second to kind of look around because you don't see anything to begin with. It certainly looks like someone has left the window open and the fabric next to the window is kind of billowing in it. And you look around and, you know, this room has like a couple chairs and like a coffee table looking thing and a couple places to be. And from a darkened corner of the room, where some of you had dropped some of your satchels and other things, once again you hear tap 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 tap.
I go over and examine the corner.
All right. You go over to examine the corner. In this corner is where you all had dropped your respective satchels and carpet bags. It's where Lord Addy's little tote, and he's kind of sleeping away and purring and snoring. And just behind him, you see something you don't recognize. You see two tap shoes just kind of sitting in the corner. They're not moving. They're not doing anything. They're just kind of sitting there.
Two tap shoes. I would like to make an arcana check on these tap shoes.
All right. Go ahead, roll arcana.
Let's see. I got a 21.
A 21, which is a great arcana check. So was that a nat 20 or was that a dirty 20?
No, that was 17 plus 4.
All right. You're really good in arcana.
I've been around a long time.
So you lean closer and closer in to these tap shoes to look at them, and you recognize these. These are magical items. It's been a long time since you've seen anything like this, probably centuries, but they certainly were a part of one of the great old shows you were a part of. These are tap shoes of invisibility, and the moment that thought hits your brain, one of the tap shoes reels up and kicks you in the face, and I'm going to need you to take 2 points of damage.
Meow.
And as you go reeling back, these tap shoes go tap 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 tap. And suddenly a bunch of things start happening. All of your belongings that were on the floor suddenly start getting rifled through. Clothes start flying everywhere. Items start flying everywhere. There's quite a ruckus. It sounds as if the wind has picked up outside, and the fabric next to the window is kind of picking up in speed and go, just like there's danger in the air. What do you do?
What do? I scream at the top of my lungs, which is not quite as loud as Evelyn, but still very considerable.
All right.
And I make a grab for the tap shoes.
All right, you scream. Go ahead, roll dexterity to see if you can grab the tap shoes.
Rolling dexterity. 19 plus 1 is 20.
20. So you are able to grab one of these tap shoes, and you grab on it, and you hear hitting the ground a thump. And between that thump and the scream, Gregory and Evelyn, I believe you both wake up and start awake. Do you come running out?
We both...
Get in here! Somebody is trying to steal our things!
Let's go!
Well, okay, we're coming!
Some invisible person seemed to have fallen in that general direction. I've got their shoe.
Can they get up?
What?
What?
You got magical tap shoes?
And as you all are having this argument, this tap shoe, Desiree, seems to wrestle itself away from you. And with that, now that we're all in the same room, I'm going to need us to roll for initiative.
Rolling for initiative.
16.
18.
I got 15.
And 15 for Desiree. And I need to roll. All right. Evelyn, the scene in front of you. there's Desiree has just lost hold of one of these tap shoes. Your stuff has been thrown everywhere. You've been awoken with a start.
Oh, my stuff!
And you go first, top of the order.
Oh, God. What, these magic tap shoes? Oh, God. They drive me crazy. Okay. I want to do something to these tap... She's got one of them, right?
It wiggled itself away. These tap shoes are standing in front of the open window next to the billowing curtains, and I think the three of you kind of have a half circle around them.
Are these tap shoes... clearly attached to someone, or are they like working on their own as own separate beings?
That's a great question. Why don't you also roll an arcana check?
Okay. All right. Doing it now. Four.
Oh man, they sure do look like shoes.
Those are shoes.
They are tap shoes.
Desiree, those are shoes.
Yes, thank you. One of them just kicked me in the nose. Do something.
Is it still me to do
it
something?
It is still you. Give you an action if you want to take it.
I'll do an action. Get an action going. I want to do... Let's do one of this here crossbows.
Okay.
I'm going to shoot at it.
All right. So you took your crossbow to bed.
Okay. I never leave without
it. It's a very dangerous city. You can't be too careful.
It's true. It's true.
Okay. And because I'm still a baby, it says 1d 8 through 1. So is that the 8 sided dice?
So first you got to roll to hit.
Okay.
Which will be d20 plus, it'll say like plus to hit or something.
Okay. Oh, yes, I see that. Okay, got it. Okay. Plus to hit. That's 9.
Okay. A 9 misses.
No damage.
You let loose a crossbow. And it sails entirely past these tap shoes and kind of pins one of the curtains to the wall.
I got the curtain.
And next in the order is Gregory.
All right. I'm going to try to athletically slide my feet into those tap shoes.
Okay. Let's call this acrobatics.
All right. All right.
Definitely.
All right. So do, do, do. 17 plus 2, so 19.
All right, so you do it. Do you flip? Do you do a flip?
Yeah, I do a jump in the air like I'm a younger man.
you do a jump in the air, and you're aiming your feet to try and get in these tap shoes. But seemingly in midair, you answer Evelyn's question because you run into a very solid being that you absolutely cannot see. But as you make contact with whatever this thing is, the other two of you, Desiree and Evelyn, you see these tap shoes kind of stumble to the side, and I will make the tap shoes take some damage. Will you roll? What's your Go ahead, roll a d4, and we'll say it's d4 plus one.
All right. I landed on the 1, 2, 3, 1. So
what's the number on the top?
It was 2 on top.
Okay, so 3 damage.
Cool, cool.
All right. And this thing, whatever it is, seems to get knocked away kind of towards the window and those curtains. And up next in the order is Desiree.
Well, I definitely do not want this thing to be escaping out of the window. So I cast Minor Illusion to create the sound of whatever the local constabulary is shouting up at the window. Hey, you, what are you? Hey, stop.
Okay.
Up there. Okay. Whatever.
So you, and Minor Illusion's a cantrip, right?
Yes.
So, you do that, all of you hear from below, a very Irish man's voice go, "Who are you there?" That's my Irish, accent. Did you like that?
All right, what's all this then?
And then he yells, "The hoe is after me, Lucky Charms!"
That's not before my voice gets any higher!
And, you see, if there was, some kind of, humanoid in these shoes, you see them turn, tips towards the window, as if the thing was looking out the window to see where that sound came from. And we are, because that distracts the shoes, we're back to the top of the order with Evelyn.
Oh, I want to do something. look at the things I have. I want to do like a gust.
Okay.
Can I do that?
Do you have any?
I don't know.
Let me look. Let's see what you
got. I feel like a good
spells.
Wind, a gust would
oh, you
be
do
good.
Have gust. What does gust
I
do? If you click on it, it'll tell you.
That's what I'm assuming. it's going to be pushed 5 feet away from me.
All right.
Push him out the window. Don't do that.
Don't push it out the window.
Well, he's trying to kill us. Why not? Fuck that guy.
He'll escape, and then we'll never get those cool tap shoes. Got him.
Okay. Then let me do something. Well, I don't know. I'm trying
you
to
can,
keep him
you
here.
Can
I grab at him? Can I just grab? Just like try to grab him and
you
hold
do,
him there?
You do whatever you want. If you want to gust him.
I'm going to grab him. I'm just going to grab this guy.
All right. So you run up to kind of the form where you think this being might be. And you run up and grab. And will you roll... Let's do a dexterity contest. So I'm going to roll for dex, and you're going to roll for dex.
Okay.
And whoever wins.
All right. Okay. I got an 8.
I also got an 8.
No way!
And so I'll give that to you. I think that goes to Challenger, although I'm sure some D&D pedants will correct me at some point. you reach out and you grab onto this somewhat invisible looking form.
Mm-hmm.
Do you yank it backwards?
I'm trying to hold him back.
Okay.
Trying to pull him back towards my group.
as you yank it backwards, you can see just for a second. You didn't see it there before, but suddenly by the left tap shoe, you very briefly see a heel pull out of it. And then attached to that heel, suddenly you see a leg with pants on it, of course. And then pants continue to form around the other leg and they move further up and they begin to form a laurel green tweed suit jacket with elbow patches. And then above that suit jacket, you see the head of a scraggly looking elf man start to form. And at this moment, you can only see the back of his head. And Gregory, you're up next.
I impulsively grab my dagger and stab him in the chest.
All right.
Why?
Gregory!
Greg!
So you reach for your dagger, and I'm going to need you to roll... Let's have you roll dexterity for this.
11 plus 2, 13.
13, all right. So you lunge forward with your dagger towards this figure. And with a 13, you approach the back of this figure and you can feel the tip of your dagger start to enter whatever this thing is. But then suddenly you feel your arm is stopped. For whatever reason, it seems like the curtain to the right of you has wrapped around your arm. And you turn to the right to look at this curtain.
Hey!
When you realized, pinned to the wall by Evelyn's cross bolt that she missed, is in fact not the curtain that she had shot, but a half burnt cloak with a phoenix on the back.
Oh my goodness.
Of it.
You've returned to me.
This feels familiar somehow.
Back again has arrived this cloak. And Jess, does a 19 beat your AC?
Oh, definitely. I'm a 12.
All right. So this cloak grabs you by the wrist. The one with the dagger in it, and it pulls you back and it slams you onto the ground with more strength than you think a piece of fabric should have.
Ouchie.
And I'm going to need you to take 7 points of damage.
Ha!
Oh, great. Oh.
And next Yikes. In the order is Desiree.
You got it, Dave.
Oh, all right. Since Evelyn is grappling the figure, I attempt to take off the tap shoes.
Okay. So you reach down and go ahead, roll dexterity.
Five.
Okay. I'll give you because we had already kind of gotten one of the tap shoes off with the gust or with the grabbing. You fully remove this figure's left tap shoe. You see it kind of turn around. Evelyn, you look up to it. You're pretty next to it because you're holding this thing.
Yeah.
And you recognize this man. This is Leon Crumb, the assistant to Max Pumpernickel.
Pumpernickel and Crumb.
I knew I recognized that tweed cloak.
Mm-hmm.
Here in your hotel room. He looks at all of you, and he's up first. And he's not gonna attack. Instead, he rolled a really great dex roll and is going to wrestle himself away from you, Evelyn, and dives into your pile of your bags and stuff.
My stuff.
Reaching for something that he seems to have been searching for, and he comes out with that golden lighter that you all found in the alleyway so many hours ago. and he pulls it out, and he starts running for that window, one shoe on, one shoe off, so it's just tap. And up next is Evelyn.
I'm gonna go try to grab him. I'm gonna go try to stop him.
Okay. So
I'm gonna run at him.
He had just
tackle him.
He had just wrestled himself away from you, so you're between him and the window.
Oh, okay. Then I'm just gonna try to block him then.
All right. Let's say you are gonna block him. Let's make this a strength contest again.
All right. Okay. That is 11.
An 11. Well, Leon rolled a natural 20. So, unfortunately for you, Evelyn, Leon, being long and gangly like he is, recoils his legs backward and then launches himself up into the air over your
Ouch.
Head and kind of like tuck, dive, and rolling launches himself out of the window.
Hey!
Again into the night. We are still in the order because Gregory, you're up now. You've just been slammed on the ground by this cloak.
I get up wheezing. And is the cloak still in the room?
The cloak is standing over you. It is still, it's using its other arm to try and pull the crossbow bolt out of its shoulder. It's still kind of pinned to the wall because of that misfire.
Now, how far away is the other fella from the window and all that?
Leon jumped out the window. That's the last you saw.
Okay, like, how long has it been? Is it like he just hit the ground?
Seconds.
I jump out and chase after
him. Oh, God, okay.
Gotta break your bones. We're on the fourth floor.
Yeah, you're on the fourth floor. Let's roll acrobatics to see if you can. Are you? Because you're on the floor, so you're gonna like quickly jump out of the window.
Yeah, I like kind of push myself out and wave myself through a window. All right.
Okay. We'll roll acrobatics and call this how like quickly you can get up and All get right. out the window.
Fuck! Critical fail.
All right. Here's what happens, Gregory. You get up, you get to your feet, you like start walking towards the window in an effort to chase Mr. Crumb.
Oh no!
But you miss judge the distance, and you accidentally like step on the tap shoe, the one lone tap shoe that's on the ground, and you kind of step on it wrong, and you barrel over sideways, and in the process you grab the bolt that had been pinning the cloak to the wall and rip it from the wall with the cloak still attached, and the whole thing kind of just starts wrestling around like the cloak is attached to the arrow that's in your hand, and it's like fluttering in the wind like when a plastic bag gets attached to your windshield wipers, just trying to like like wrench itself free from this. And Gregory, I'm going to roll a strength contest with you as the cloak.
Okay.
I got a 14.
I got 5, so.
All right. So this cloak is also able to wrestle itself away. It's one shoulder burnt, one shoulder with a hole in it, and it kind of retreats a little bit. And just for a second, it hovers in the middle of the room, and you can see this phoenix kind of contemplate the three of you, and it like turns and looks at you, Evelyn, and turns and looks at you, Disarea, and then turns and looks at you, Gregory.
Hey.
And then it turns and flies its way out of the window.
Oh.
And we are out of initiative.
Gone again.
I am going to burn that thing one day.
Lost it again.
I swear to God, that phoenix looked at me like it knows me, like it's gonna remember my face.
How can anyone forget your face?
And my voice.
Hi, everybody. Surprise! We're releasing the episode a week early. Normally, you'll only hear from us every other Wednesday, but not this week. Thank you so much for all of your early support for Once More with Dragons. Seeing all the love and nice words you have to say about us on the internet has really been a shining glimmer these past couple weeks. Shoutouts to MechBlank, Corey 2.0, Juliet Antonio, JRL Studios, Queen Cockroach, and everyone else who's been tweeting ideas for Dungeons & Dragons-themed musicals at us. Keep those ideas coming. Be sure to use the hashtag OnceMoreCast so we can find them. And a special shout-out to Hayden Wilder and Jonathan Peterson for some fantastic fan art. Please let us know if you're making fan art of us. We'd love to retweet it or Graham it. Is that what you do? I don't know. However Instagram works. Again, use hashtag once more cast so we can track that stuff down. Our troop this week, as always, is Evelyn Forte, the brassy mouth dragonborn sorcerer. She is played by Emily Clark. You can find Emily over at Stealing Focus on YouTube. Disarea the Magnificent, the high elf druid and daughter of theatrical royalty, is played by Christy Esterly. You can find Christy, aka the diva, at Musical Hell on YouTube. Gregory Highland, the two-time and dwarfish rogue, is played by Jesse McAnally. You can find Jesse's other podcast, Musicals with Cheese, in a podcatcher near you. And I am Tommy Nolan, your Dungeon Master, Musical Theater Mash in all places online. Our artwork is by Derek Trost. Special thanks to our story consultants, Wes, Katie, Flynn, and Jimmy. And additional thanks to Broadway Podcast Network for having us on. All of this information and more is available at OnceMoreWithDragons.com, including links to our Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook page, as well as our Patreon. Thank you. Thank you so much to our early patrons. Tune in. We've got some plans for some special Patreon exclusive pieces coming out. And a final thanks for all of the gorgeous reviews on Apple Podcasts and elsewhere. Those reviews help our podcast grow and help other people find our podcast. Our next episode will be up on Wednesday, March 25th. Talk to you then.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The three of you find yourself staring once again out of an open window, just having watched the cloak that seems to continue to torment you fly away.
So sick of open windows.
It's still pretty late at night. You all are welcome to return back to bed. And Gregory, if you want to reheal those points you lost, or
thank
anyone else,
you.
Or your spell slots, you're welcome to.
If I go to sleep, won't I heal myself, or is that...
Yeah, you'll heal yourself.
Okay, I'm going to sleep. Night, folks.
All right.
All right. Do you
Well, let's go back to
Do you all say anything to each other before you turn in?
Sorry.
Next time, Gregory, do not stab at them first.
I think it would have worked. I think it would have worked, honestly.
You could have killed somebody who knew. You could have killed the person who could have told us what was going on.
Yeah, but he also might not have hurt someone else, so think about that.
Well, what I want to know is, Desiree, what did you hear? Like, you got woken up by shoes?
First, I only need to trance for 4 hours a night, so...
So were you awake?
I was already partially awake.
Okay.
And second, they were tap shoes. Tap shoes are designed to be heard. Whoever designs tap shoes of invisibility, it kind of defeats the purpose.
I mean, oh, you're not wrong.
That is one more thing. The three of you, and you can decide who gets this, are now the proud owners of one half of a pair of tap shoes of invisibility.
D, I think it should go to you. You did the most. You did the most there.
You did the most work.
I will... I will pocket it because I suspect that I might come across the owner of the other half and we will have words.
Well, we know it was Crumb, right?
And I might slap him in the nose with this thing.
And I will tell you that the full pair will, as you've noticed, turn an entire being, an entire humanoid invisible, save for the loud noise of the tap shoes as they walk around. One of them will, as you expect, turn exactly one half of you invisible. You can decide how your body is divided in half. Whether you're walking pants, just the left half, the part of you that is invisible must be in contact with the shoe.
All right.
And so this is a magic item at your discretion.
So if you put it on your head, would that make your head invisible?
If we get to that point, I'll figure something out.
Okay.
This will come in very specific handy, I imagine.
I have one tap shoe of invisibility. I'm not sure how I mark that on my spell sheet, but there you go.
We'll figure that out at another day.
Same with my coronet of lisping.
Y'all are getting suited up. All right. The three of you turn in for the night. You wake at a reasonable hour and kind of go about your morning.
4:50 in the morning. Let's go.
At 4:50 in the morning. No, at a reasonable time in the morning. The three of you find yourself down in the tavern once again. Mandy Patink is behind the bar, kind of cleaning some glasses and walking around and picking up what's left from the night. One of the things that is left over from last night is that green-skinned half-orc man who was telling a story at the end of the bar last night. He is exactly where he was, passed out over on the bar. Mandy kind of gives him a little poke every time he walks past him to try and wake him up, but he seems to be not roused yet. And other than that, the chairs are up on the tables. The tavern's pretty clean. You know previously that you were invited to two things today, and there's other things going on at your discretion, but you were invited to an audition with Mo Pumpernickel. And today is supposed to be the opening night of Hello, Dragotha, your first night as usher.
All right, so guys.
All right, what time is our audition?
Your audition, Mo said, was in the morning, so probably in about an hour.
We should probably do that first.
All right.
Well, I was going to give you guys a pitch. We could either legitimately try to star in a show, or we could try to steal Dragotha from Miss Chandler.
Yes, Miss Chandler. Caroline Chandler.
Oh, you can't even remember her name.
How are all three of us going to play the lead role in Hello, Dragotha?
I mean...
Well, it's clear that only one of us should, but that's neither here nor there.
I think it could be all three of us. Have you seen the original version of Evita? There was like 9 girls playing Evita.
I think... Since the show is later tonight, then going to the audition right now would be the best plan.
All right.
Yes. It is best to have as many irons in the fire as possible.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever the world equivalent of this is, phrase
you
is.
You never know what's going to happen.
All right. What theater are we going to?
You recall that you're supposed to head to a room in the Lutonophone Theater. And so you head out the front of the Patink Inn and head down the street. You know the Lutonophone because you passed it earlier yesterday. There's nothing on the marquee for the Lutonophone right now. It seems like it's dark currently. And you head back to the stage door in the alleyway. As you head back there, let's see. I need everyone to roll a perception check.
Oh, goody.
Hi.
16.
Ugh, as usual, I am a 3.
Let's see. Perception, I have got 8 and 4 is 12.
All right. So,
Handy down.
Evelyn, you're just really distracted by the not lit lights on this marquee, and you're
wow, what's wrong with these lights?
You're
here?
Having some grand memory of another show long past, and you remember your name up there in lights so many years ago.
I remember the day.
While Evelyn is waxing upon times long past, Gregory and Desiree, you see two figures, kind of behind the pulled blinds in the box office window, one of those like glass windows with a little hole in it, just in the front of the Latonophone. You can see their shadows. It kind of looks like they're arguing.
Can I do a stealth check and see if I can like sneak a little bit closer?
Sure. Go ahead, roll stealth.
That is a 12 plus, how much is my stealth? I know, plus 12 plus 2, 14.
14. Okay. So, you kind of crouch down, to kind of, sneakily sneak up to this window. The little talkie hole is open.
Talkie hole.
That's what it's called. Gregory, you hear from behind this window, a voice go, "You mean you wrote that note? You have a lot of explaining to do." And you hear another voice. You hear another voice go, "But dear, I was just looking out for you, and I know this is difficult for the two of us, but I really meant it."
Guys, Miss Chandler's talking to the person who wrote the note.
I remember when I played Jorpsy here over 35 years. What?
Okay, forget that. I want to try to stealth my way into the window.
Before he does that, I would like to listen to see if I recognize the other voice.
Okay, go ahead, roll, let's say, insight, Desiree.
Insight. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I got a natural one.
Oh, man. You might have heard a voice like this somewhere.
I think I remember when my name was up in lights in this theater myself.
Oh, yes.
Gregory, I'll let you roll insight too if you want to see if you can figure out
all
who
right,
this voice
let's see
is.
If I know this voice. That is a 7.
A 7?
Yeah.
You know this person for sure.
All right.
Absolutely recognize this voice.
Okay. Forgive me if this is asking too much. Is it a friendly voice or?
You can tell in this moment that the voice, certainly both voices, are, you know, panicked and rushed in what they're doing, but are speaking to each other in friendly tones.
Okay. So I'm gonna knock on the window, just like knuckle knock.
All right. Do you do any like patterned knock, or do you just like knock knock? Or, like,
I did something like
a haircut.
I was like, bup, 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 bup. I messed right. up the beat of 2 bits, so like, bup, 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 bup.
And with that, you hear two gasps that go, and then you see at first two fingers opening the blinds just to peek through, and then you see four eyeballs kind of peeking out. Two eyeballs you absolutely correctly recognize belong to Caroline Chandler. She's got great eyes. And then the other two eyeballs kind of look beady and bloodshot, as if they've been awake for a very long time.
I flash a smile and a thumbs up.
That ought to work.
Let's say you're gonna have to roll persuasion, and it's gonna be hard to beat.
Persuasion or performance?
I'm gonna go persuasion. With persuasion on this one.
That was a 19 plus one, so.
Oh my god!
Oh!
Okay.
For once.
You see someone grip the cable to pull the blinds up, and they pull the blind up, and you see finally these two figures revealed. The first is Caroline Chandler, and the second is Leon Crumb.
What?
In his green tweed jacket.
This guy just tried to kill us.
Well, considering Gregory, it was the other way around, but still.
Hey, I play it cool, and I still, my smile gets bigger.
Your smile gets bigger, and you see Leon kind of go, huh! And then he closes the blind really quickly. And then you can see him kind of push and shuffle Caroline Chandler to pick up whatever she's left on the ground, and they kind of flitter away, what you can tell, back into the recesses of the box office there, and they disappear from sight.
I think these two are in cahoots.
Let's not let that ruin our audition. Let's go, guys.
All right. So you head around to the alleyway on the side of the Lutonophone. Just like at the Dems Hohenstein, there's a door labeled stage door there and magical writing. The three of you head in. This one, there's just a long hallway. You don't have to walk too far before you see a sign on one of the doorways on your right that says, auditions for Dear Elvin Hansen this way. And you're outside that door. What do you do?
Let's just go inside, guys. I mean, there's nothing to fear. Yeah. Like, let's just do it.
I never pass up an audition.
Should we knock first?
No.
Oh, right.
They're expecting us.
That implies that we need to. Like, we got a call asking us to do this.
Very true.
Gregory taking the lead, his confidence over his trepidation around doorknobs having passed, grips the doorknob to the audition room and opens it up. And in this room, you see a pretty quaint room. There's a long table with one chair at it. One figure sat behind it. You recognize him as Mo Pumpernickel. On the table is a rotary dial phone. And there's a smattering of chairs and props on the wall. But that is all you see in this room. Mo is actually standing at this table and is kind of shuffling through papers. He goes, "Ah! Oh! My new friends, you made it. How delightful. Welcome to the audition. Lives are changed here. People are changed
Mo,
here.
Mo, I give him a big bear hug. Mo, it's good to
see
you.
Oh, my God. No, we've done it. I said friends, but it was a formality." And he takes a step back from you. And he sits down and he says, I've been waiting for my compatriot all morning, but it appears we may have to soldier on alone, as they say. Who would like to go first? Does someone have something prepared for us?
Evelyn, I think you should go.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't really prepared. All right. So I'm going to step forward and I am going to ask if he wants me to sing or to do act first. Or both. I can do both.
And he says, Dear Elvin Hansen is a very experimental piece, as you may have heard. So we're looking for unique and interesting takes on the art form. So whatever you think is a unique and interesting take on the art form, that's what I'm looking for.
Fantastic. Well, I know you've seen me, I'm sure, in many, many, many shows.
Of course.
And you know I can hold notes for a very long time. But did you know that I was also in quite a few Stephen Sondheim shows? And I am very good at what they call patter. So, it's a dragon breath thing. Uh-huh. Dragon breath. So, I am going to do my best Stephen Sondheim elf song and do a little patter for you. Getting marred today.
All right. Let's say, go ahead, roll a performance. Roll performance.
Okay, hold on. Performance. Okay. Oh, I got a 14.
All right. I think with a 14, this goes very well for you. You take your mark and you open your mouth and the most delicate little bits of flame start dancing out of your mouth in time. And you can see, it's almost like Morse code how it comes out. And there seems to be like quite a rhythm to it. It's like the beginning of The Music Man.
Yeah.
All these pieces of fire kind of dance around you as you have this wonderful little patter moment.
Yeah.
And then you end it all with a little ha-cha-cha.
Yeah, what are you talking?
And Mo sits there for a second, and he's taking some notes. And he looks up and he goes, "Very good, thank you. Thank you very much. That was quite delightful, Evelyn."
thank you.
Anyone else?
Do you want to go or do you want me to go?
I'll go. I stride forward to the table, and removing the single tap shoe from my satchel, I place it in front of him. Do you recognize this item?
Hot damn!
Will you do a persuasion check? That seems close, like you're threatening someone.
All right, 14.
14, okay. You put that tap shoe in front of him, and you see Mo Pumpernickel turn white in the face, and he goes, "Where? Where did you find this?"
"It was on the foot of your compatriot who was rifling through our belongings last night."
"Leon? Leon, what would Leon be looking for in with your stuff?"
"You tell me."
"Hey, I don't care as long as I get the part."
"This is going to make my audition a lot harder, D."
"You nearly stabbed Leon. I don't care."
Mo reaches out to look at and grab this tap shoe. And then kind of bizarrely, he like smells it for a second, which is weird. Then he sets it back down and then looks up and goes, "Yeah, that's Leon. Something, and you'll pardon the expression, something must be afoot." No, nothing. Anyway.
Are we just going to let it go that... he could judge it was Leon just by smelling a shoe? We're just going to let that fly past, I guess.
This is a magical world!
I've seen stranger things. My first husband, for example.
Oh, gosh.
Mo looks at all of you and says, "So, and this is very important, just to clarify. You have seen Leon... recently."
"Yeah,
saw him last night."
"This morning. It depends on how late it was."
"We saw him
recently.
We saw him.
We literally just saw him 5 seconds ago, if I remember right."
"Yes."
"Oh yeah, that's right. We saw him in the alley."
You saw Leon in the alley?" And Mo,
"I believe he is in this very theater, if he has not already run away with his tail between his legs."
He was threatening Miss Caroline Chandler."
Mo looks at the three of you and says, and this is very important. The three of you saw this happening."
"At least two of us did."
"We hide it. We hide some
and
things."
Mo sits there for a second, you can see the color come back to his face, and it goes from white to kind of red. And he looks like he's getting a little aggravated for a second, but then he calms himself and goes, "Well, needless to say, auditions are done for the day. Thank you all. Thank you, Gregory, for coming."
Wait. I was the only one that didn't get a chance. No!
With all of them, he kind of rushes out the door. Back into the hallway.
"I think I got the part." "I think I nailed it."
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.